What's up, podcast listeners? You've got a treat today. LinkedIn Heroes, number one real estate trainer and coach in Australasia. I'm talking about Tom Panos. What a charismatic dude. I posted on my Instagram story saying, can someone please get me an interview with Tom? And I've got a few private messages or DMs from real estate agents. And next minute, Tom was on the call with me and we caught up in Sydney. Geez, he's had some adversities that he's overcome. What a fantastic story. Trained well over 20,000 real estate agents. His following on social media is upward of 100,000. Ladies and gentlemen, LinkedIn Heroes, Tom Panos.
But I have to tell you, there's something good about being hit or punched in the face with challenging issues, because generally speaking, the person that walks into a challenging issue and the person that walks out of a challenging issue is a different person.
For the few people watching that maybe don't know exactly, you know, your background, do you mind telling the audience a little bit about what you do?
All property related. So I've been working in the real estate industry, Nathaniel, for 32 years.
Wow.
Started off as a salesperson then slash business owner in my early 20s. Then I went out into training and education. I then moved into media. The whole time it's always been real estate. And around 6 or 7 years ago, I set up an online membership subscription business, which I did while I was working as an executive for News Corporation. And that business has gone well, which has meant that I left News Corp quite a few years now. And I do that. I run an auctioneering business where I do about 500-600 auctions a year. I speak mainly at real estate conferences and mortgage broking conferences, so I do about 200 gigs a year, but it's all sort of underpinned under the real estate foundation. So what other thing I do, I'm an online real estate marketer, selling, you know, that's the main part of my revenue comes from that.
And so you're a busy man. What drives you? How do you keep finding the energy to do all of that?
I actually think when you like your work and you're okay at it, leisure's overrated. My personal view is when you're doing something you like, you're good at it. People find value. People pat you on the back, come in at the end of a conference, fantastic. People are having their businesses grow. You're looking at real estate people that were earning 100 grand and then you're seeing them earning 300 grand. You get a kicker. So I think there's no magic end destination, that there's no, I suppose what I'm saying is a dream destiny. I skip to work based on feedback I'm getting every day. I'm sure there's going to come a time when people are going to sit there, you'll be speaking at a conference, and people are going to be looking down on their mobiles, they're not going to be paying attention, you're not going to be as relevant, you'll feel it, you'll think, okay, I don't enjoy it because they're not enjoying it. So at the moment, what drives me is the fact that people dig the work I'm doing.
Yeah, you know, you're crushing it on social media. Like
on Facebook,
yeah,
where, like, because my business manager always spent time doing Facebook work, on Facebook, typically on a week, we have 50,000 engagement on the score. When you put yourself by category, you can go in there and have a look. We're number one in the world under real estate training and coaching. So we compete against Tom Ferry in the USA.
Yep.
250 million people in, you know, the USA.
Yep.
So we actually get number one in engagement in the world. Social media for us has been significant because it's just an incredible way. Facebook, Insta, LinkedIn, YouTube now has been an incredible...
And your Sunday night rants are pretty popular, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you know, like, before Facebook changed their algorithm,
yeah,
it was 100,000 views.
Wow.
Now we get 20,000 views,
yep,
per thing. And it's all done simply on my... I mean, you've got a good videographer crew here, and you've got Tom and the team shooting content, you've got a few people.
Mm.
My Sunday night rants are raw,
yeah,
real, on a mobile phone.
Yeah.
The only two things that I've got attached is a Rode lapel mic,
yep,
and a light.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Like, I think the algorithm, live is good.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that through my time at News Corp, because I worked out at News Corp, we know through TV,
yeah, yeah,
the biggest engaged events is sport,
yeah,
live. News live.
Yeah, right.
Go live because that gets engagement.
Yeah, I was loving it. So I'm not even in real estate, but I love watching the Sunday Night Rants and your videos.
Yeah,
I think there's always some value there.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're in real estate or not. Like Gavin Rubenstein is one of my clients. So I was watching your rant with him. Like, and there's always a bit of humour, which I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. So you could take the word real estate out.
Yep.
And replace it with cars.
Yep.
Mortgages, pharmaceuticals, media, aeroplanes, shoes, massages, personal training, and it's exactly the same. All you've got to do in business is, here's the bottom line in business, Nathaniel. Someone's going to give you a buck.
Yep.
You've got to make sure that what you give them is equal to at least a buck.
If not more, yeah.
If it's more, then you become really value add.
Mm.
When you get to a stage where you give something back that is two times what they give you, so they're getting double the return, you become a no-brainer. When you get to the level like, say, a Spotify, you know, or a Netflix, where people turn around and say, I simply would not disconnect from that. In fact, even if they doubled my rate, I'd probably just keep paying it.
Yeah.
That's what a value-added provider is. Show more, do more, give more. You've got to move away from the commodity dungeon. And a commodity dungeon is where you're priced where people have other options and they look and they say, oh, you're that much, you're that much, you're that much. You shouldn't play that game. You've got to be actually out of that game completely. Have a product or a service that's out of the game where people just say, Nathaniel's work is so good, we're going with him.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell this to real estate agents all the time because I think it's so valuable what you deliver. I want to join, but I'm not a real estate agent. It's like, you know. Talk to us about the business side of things. So along the way, entrepreneurs, we always have challenges that we face. And I know you've probably had many. What's one of the big ones that you've had to overcome that maybe you can share with the audience?
To me, business is all predictable because what actually happens is it's within your control. My challenges haven't actually been business challenges. My challenges have been health challenges. So I've had cancer three times,
wow,
right? And it's unlucky, but it's also lucky to be cancer-free after three bouts of cancer over a 15-year period. And to me, a challenge is when something out of your control happens and you are left with having to cope with it. And illness, like a terminal illness like cancer is, it's like, it's not your fault, but it becomes your problem. And it's really difficult, Nathaniel, to have your life falling apart in front of your eyes and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, all you do is sit and stare outside a chemo ward and look out and think to yourself, hey, give me a business issue. Give me something that I know is predictable, is fixable, right? Don't give me an issue that can't be sorted out by any person on the planet. That to me has been the biggest challenge. But I have to tell you, there's something good about being hit or punched in the face with challenging issues, because generally speaking, the person that walks into a challenging issue and the person that walks out of a challenging issue is a different person. They're less afraid, they've got more courage, they'll take more risks because they've realized the mortality rate is exactly the same whether you play it safe or risky, so you go harder, you take a bigger punt, you're more compassionate. Because you've suffered, you feel the suffering of other people. And the most important thing is you realize that time is a non-renewable commodity. So what you do is you go big because you realize, hey, I'm definitely dying. I say that in a metaphorical way. I say that in a literal way. Like, I'm dying, you're dying, everyone's dying, right? Everyone's dying. No one has not died. If you Google it, has anyone not died? It sort of says, no, everyone dies. There's everyone dies. So what actually happens is you play a bigger game by facing your mortality rate. So that's the biggest issue. But I'll tell you what helps. What helps is if you've got a business model, and most entrepreneurs screw up here because they make the business model highly dependent on just themselves. So if you do get smashed with cancer or if something were to happen, hypothetically speaking, your kid is involved in an accident and you've got to be with them for 2 years, or hypothetically, you wake up and you realize that you suffer from depression, anxiety. If you've got a business model that is process driven, that is predictable, repeatable, and scalable, you can still make a living. Like, look in my business. With cancer, okay, so you get smashed, you're in chemo for 9 months. You can't do auctions all the time. You can't speak all the time. You can't go off and do consulting. But guess what? You still got your subscription-based business that's ticking away, right? So you can still get your intellectual property and get paid money for it. So that's a process-driven business. And I think that a lot of business people, a lot of entrepreneurs, are really big on vision, really big on dreams, really big on energy, but their back end is not process driven. And I'm going to tell you, process trumps motivation any day of the week. Because when you've got process, you can make money while you sleep.
Mm. And so if we look at real estate agents specifically, what's some of the biggest mistakes that real estate agents are making at the moment?
Commission breath, short game. So what actually happens, instead of them building a relationship, they try and win business. And because they try and win business, the person they're dealing with picks it up. They don't care about me, they care about themselves. So what they're doing is they're counting score each day. And what they're saying is, I need that sale. So when you show up with, I need that sale, when you're sitting there in front of a client, the energy comes out, I want your money. When you're building a relationship, the conversation is totally different for a real estate agent. It's like this, like you're the client, Nathaniel. I want to let you know, today I'm going to ask you a few questions to see whether I can help you. If I can, I'll tell you what we do, how we do it, and what the next steps are. If I can't, it's totally okay. I might even refer you to someone. But I want you to know it's totally all right if nothing comes out of today except me meeting you. The difference is that one is about, I want something now. The other one is, I'll take something when you're ready. Today, I'm here to serve you, provide you information. I think that is probably the biggest difference between a good guy and a bad guy, good girl, bad girl. The other thing I think is that they don't understand that we now are all media companies. I know I'm rehashing terms that your audience has probably heard before, but every individual now is basically a media company. So when I add my YouTube subscribers, my LinkedIn connections, my Facebook audience, my email list, my real estate gym members, my speaking at conferences, when I add up all that audience, that audience far exceeds the audience of many magazines that are sold. So I'm a media company, and guess what? When you're a media company, you've got to be the editor, the sub-editor, the content creator, content curator. You've got a personal responsibility. And I'm thinking, like, for one thing is that people may have not noticed in my content recently, Nathaniel, is I've diluted the use of the F word.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't use it as much anymore. I mean, it's weird. Like, I used to have a lot of people say, oh, I get turned off. I didn't care. I just did my own thing and it was working.
Yeah, right.
But I had, it was a monk out of all the people. A monk changed my thinking because okay. I went to the Central Coast. Well, the other bad thing, I had a bit of bad luck, you know, in the last, I had a younger brother, my only sibling, and he passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that, mate.
And that devastated me, right? So that's another thing, you know, when you lose a loved one. And he passed away now 14 months ago. And so I took my mum to a, she's very religious, and I took her to a retreat. A monastery, let's call it, on the Central Coast. And I met a monk there, and the monk by coincidence ended up knowing who I was and what I did. And he made a very valid point. He says, you strike me as someone that likes to make an impact.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, I do. And he goes, my worry is that you're making an impact on X amount of people. But on the fringes are a bunch of people that probably love everything you say, but when they hear that F word, their upbringing, their values, just the way that they are, they might disconnect. So one of the questions you've got to decide is, do you want to have a bigger impact?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very intelligent person because he was the QC, ex-QC of Jeff Kennett, who decided to become a monk. He said, and the question you've got to decide is, do you think by reducing the use of the F word, what will happen is the audience that you've got, will they feel like they're getting ripped off because you've diluted it? And I don't know 100% what the answer to that is, but early stages show that it hasn't made a difference to that audience that already follows me.
Yeah.
And in fact, what's happened is we're now got incredible statistics on Facebook that shows in the last 6 months, our Facebook engagement's gone to 50,000 a week. So, Nathaniel.
I think that makes sense, yeah. Look, because you may have caught their attention at the start with it.
Yeah.
But they know the value you provide, and it's got nothing to do with whether you swear or not.
Yeah, and I think what it is, look, for me it was a big rearrangement because I speak to you the same way I speak at a conference,
yeah,
the same way I speak to my friends. So for me, it was, I had to actually change the way I am all the time. So for me to stop swearing at a presentation or on a video, it meant I had to stop swearing when I'm talking to my mates.
I said to Tom, when I spoke to you on the phone, I said, oh, he sounds exactly like he does on the videos.
I'm the same. Like I speak, the one thing that people will always say when they meet me, oh, I thought, you know, like you're really down to earth. I speak to the CEO the same way I speak to the person that I pick my car up from at News Corp. So there's a car park attendant. I speak exactly the same way. And he's actually said it to me. He goes, I can't believe it. You speak to me the way that you speak to the CEO at News Corp, you speak to me. I speak to the waitress the same way I speak to a client I might be auctioning and they own $40 million worth of real estate. I speak the same way. And you know what I notice? People like it because what happens is they automatically, if they're intelligent, they work out, here's the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they then drop their mask off and then you connect.
I agree. Yeah, awesome. What are you excited about in your business at the moment?
I'm pumped about the fact that we've done a rebrand. I'm signing off. I'm pumped about the fact that for 2 years, so I've spent 2 years in chemo. Like I had cancer, got better, George died. I then go back into treatment. So I haven't had a free run. I haven't had a free run. I'm also pumped about, I've been given the all clear to exercise and train a few weeks ago. So that's given me a lot of energy. I'm pumped about that. I'm pumped about the fact that I'm cancer clear. I'm pumped about the fact that I've got a book that's coming out in May next year called Some of the Best Gifts in Life Come Badly Wrapped. We haven't signed off on that title, but we've done the deal with the book, so I'm pumped about that. I'm pumped about the fact that, you know, the real estate gym has been able to not only survive, but thrive without me sort of being there all the time with my health issue.
When did you get the good news that you can't see?
April 2nd.
This year?
Yeah.
Really? Congratulations, that's good news. Yep.
I'm also pumped about the fact that I've now organized a life that allows me to have an ELF business. E-L-F. Effortless, lucrative, fun.
Yep.
I've created that business, which means that I do 11 weeks in Greece and Europe this year. I'll do 3 weeks in Byron Bay. So there's just a lot of good places that I'll be at. So I'm very optimistic.
Yeah. Tom, I know I put you on the spot a little bit today, but we always ask our guests at LinkedIn Heroes, if they could be a superhero, who would they be and why?
If I could be a superhero.
Any superhero you like.
I know this sounds, I got to tell you, I don't know whether you call this person or this being a superhero, but one of the most profound comments I've ever read is by, I can't remember who it was. I think it was, I can't remember who he was, but he says, I want to think like God. Everything else is detail. And I would love to be able to think like that. The ability to think at a higher level. I'm just having a mental blank on the person that did it was highly intelligent. Like he's one of the major philosophers. I mean, thinking like God would be, and I suppose that all boils down to is whether you believe in a God, right? Mm. That would be it. I'm curious, what are some of the superheroes people have brought up in the past?
A lot of people say they are, a bit myself, or like Batman or right. The Flash or mentors that they've had. Yeah, Steph Rice was saying that she'd be like one of the tennis players, Serena Williams.
Look, you know, the guy that has had a profound impact that we could turn around and say God is something that is vague and unclear to most people, you know, and I know he's very controversial, but he's had a profound impact in my life, particularly in time of suffering, is Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Jordan Peterson. Yep. He's been profound. I know he's... He's controversial because of his views that he is not going to have people that are going to tell him on how to use words and, you know, gender pronouns and what have you. But his book, 12 Rules for Life, his book, Meanings, Maps of Meaning, I love listening because in the world of conferences and speakers and mentors, I've got to tell you, there's a lot of frauds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that, you know, have got two lives, the stage life and their real life. Nathaniel, the thing I like about Dr. Jordan Peterson is his work is underpinned by evidence-based psychology that is scientifically proven. So he's a university professor that's teaching psychology that just decided that he would YouTube his lectures.
Mm.
And there was thousands and thousands of pretty much cheap videography of his lectures. He had a camera set up and he would lectures would be out on YouTube. And the average person that couldn't go to university could actually become highly educated in psychology by actually following his lessons. And he's had a profound impact in my life. And one of his favorite rules that I like in the 12 Rules for Life is fix problems when they're small.
Yeah.
It's a very good rule to have in life because stage one cancer is better than stage four.
Mm.
And sorting out a leaking roof and having a bit of painting to do and fixing up the ceiling is a lot better than neglecting it and having the roof fall down.
Absolutely.
So fix problems when they're small.
I think that's a great place for us to end the interview. Thanks so much for your time, Tom.
Thank you so much, Nathaniel.
I'm glad we made this happen.
Thank you.
Awesome.